First of all, I'd like to say that I'm honored to be here today. It's a real privilege. It's not the first time. You might say, when was the first time you came to the New Year student? 60 years ago, I think, this very year. So I've been here before, and I've seen a tremendous change from that first New Year's meeting down at Healington, Oklahoma. It was in the southern part of the state of Oklahoma, and today. And I'm not making any judgments, I'm just saying that there has been a tremendous change. And as far as I'm concerned, it is 10 times bigger. The talent that I see in the church today is tremendous compared to what we had back in those days. There's been all of these changes, and outwardly at least, they are all for the better. Now, people can talk about the church failing, but we're trying to tell you the church has progressed. And the church will continue to progress with the kind of talent and ability that is shown in this generation. In these 60 years that have gone by, I've also noticed that the church has expanded in size worldwide many, many times over. So don't think negatively about the church. Churches live and churches fade away for various reasons, but it doesn't mean the church is dying. I heard that when I was a young man. So I'm very happy to be able to tell you that, but you may say, well, where is all of this tremendous growth you're talking about? We're not seeing. Look at the world, my friends. When I was beginning back in the early 50s, we had virtually no foreign work. And now, today, we're working on every continent on the face of the earth. I'm very thankful for the church. And I want the church to continue to grow and progress. I want to say some things about the kingdom. Now, the minute we look at that sign, and all of us, I'm sure, agree, Jesus is our king. And when we admit he is our king, then we're saying something about his kingdom. There are people in the religious world, and maybe even for the most part, even real religious people that don't believe the kingdom has come, that it is some future event. Well, Jesus is our king, and he has a kingdom. Now, we've already heard a lot of the verses that I have in my remarks, but Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, in his inaugural address to the world, the greatest single body of teaching is found in this sermon, where we're reading from at this time. In Matthew 6:33, it is Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. It is the first recorded words that Jesus ever made to us personally. We might do well to begin our study of the Christian religion and what God requires of us. We might do well to go there and begin our study. But after Jesus had talked a while, in Matthew 6, verse 33, he said, "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you." Now, Alan Bailey last evening mentioned this, and he emphasized it. Now, you know, when the Bible said seek, if you look up the word in the lexicon, it means seek in order to find. You seek, he says, in order to find the kingdom of God. Now, it's not something that many people really understand, and sometimes not even in the church. Seek to find. It also means, Thayer's lexicon said, seek to find by thinking. Now, it's going to take some conscious effort and study to understand concerning the kingdom of God. Now also he says, seek it first, and his righteousness. First means, of course, first as in importance. There's a lot of things in this world important. We live in the world and we have to, in some ways, survive with the world. But there's nothing more important, and there never will be, than seeking the kingdom of God first. But just how important is this subject? Well, you know, I looked it up the other day out of curiosity, and I discovered that the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God, is referred to in some way over 160 times in the New Testament. I know of no subject that requires more thinking than this subject, and there's no subject much easier to understand either. So it is used these many times. And I might add here, before I forget it, that sometimes we read the kingdom of God and sometimes we read of the kingdom of heaven. And these terms are also used interchangeably. When you're seeking the kingdom of God, you can also be seeking of the kingdom of heaven. There is a difference, but we're not going into technicalities. But what we do say when we say the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is it is from God, not from man. And it is from heaven. So this kingdom that Jesus Christ is the king over is not some earthly man-made institution. It's from God. And we need to keep that in mind. Now, when we begin reading the book of Matthew, I also discovered that the word kingdom or kingdom of God or heaven is used 55 times. And so it is used very often. It is a very important subject. And then I discovered something else. Out of the 160-some times, in the first four Gospels, it is used at over 100 times, I'm certain. I didn't spend all day counting these. But it is used over and over. It is a very important subject. We always have to keep it in the back of our mind that we have a king. And that we're talking about his kingdom and what it means to us. But then I have noticed something else in my study, and I suppose you have too. Jesus did not, as recorded in the first four Gospels, he never used the word church except three times. And two of those had to do with correcting a matter between brethren. Three times. And yet the word kingdom in those first four Gospels is used over 100 times. Is there something different between the church and the kingdom? Well, there is a difference. Now, whenever we speak of the church, we're speaking of the subjects of the kingdom. If we recognize Jesus as our king, then we are subject to him. We are in his kingdom. And so it was important to talk about the whole situation than to talk about a part of it. The church is not as big, if you want to say it that way, as the kingdom. The only time really that Jesus used it in any way to refer to the kingdom is in Matthew 16:18, where he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And then in the next verse he told Peter, I will give to you the keys to the kingdom. He didn't say the keys to the church. He said he would build the church. Give the keys to Peter. Now what I want to do, just for a second or two, is I want to tell you that this is a spiritual kingdom. Doug did us a great favor this morning in talking about it is more than just doing some things. It is a spiritual kingdom. We can read some places. In 1 Peter 2 verse 5, it is called a spiritual house. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it is called a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. That's kingly language. We are also called a holy nation. Nations are of various sorts. We have the democracy with its president, senate, and lawmakers. The church is not a democracy. We constitute a kingdom and are the citizens of that kingdom. So we're not a democracy. We're not an empire. We have no emperor. We are a kingdom. And we never need to forget that we have a king, and he loves us, protects us, and orders our lives. Now, what I want to do, just for a second or two, is I want to remind you that in having this kingdom, the king has the authority. Now, when the apostles began to preach, they preached the king. I'll tell you, read the book of Acts. And read about Philip. This was brought up in a lesson the other night. He went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ to them. This was referred to in a sermon in Acts 8:5. But what did he preach? We discover in verse 12, he preached first concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, both men and women. Now that's what we preach when we preach Christ. First, he preached concerning the kingdom of God. What does this mean? He preached that he was our king. He preached that we are citizens of his kingdom if we are Christians. He talked about the value of the kingdom and what it was. But when he preached the name of Jesus Christ, he was preaching the authority of Jesus Christ. Now we have an authority, and it begins with this right here, our king. He is our authority. And then, of course, you cannot preach Jesus without preaching baptism. So they were baptized. Now, the subject of baptism is being devalued in the church in some places. I hear this. They say we don't need to preach it anymore. Well, we're not preaching Christ. And if we don't preach about the church, we're not preaching Christ. Now, what I want to do at the end of this is remind you that this is not a kingdom without some rules, regulations, or, if you please, a law. We have a law. In Galatians 6, verse 2, what is it called? The law of Christ. There are rules. There are regulations. And as Doug just told us, we better do them from the heart. We don't just keep them, but they are there, and they're to be obeyed. Laws are to be honored and respected and obeyed. I want to tell you something. You know, here recently, we had a visitor at the church where I go. And he said that we're not under law. He's a dear brother, been in the church all of his life, and told me we're not under law. That is not correct. This is a reference to, of course, Romans 6, verses 14 and 15, where we read, we're not under law, but under grace. If we don't understand Paul's use of the word law in Romans, then we're never going to understand Romans. Paul was talking about the law of Moses. We're not under it. He just talked about it in four chapters. But we are under grace. But he was not saying we're not under any law. In fact, in the book of Romans alone, in Romans 3:27, we're under the law of faith. That's what it says. We're under the law of faith. So Paul's not saying we're not under any law. And Paul also said in Romans 8, verse 2, he spoke of the law of the Spirit of life. We're under a law. And then we also read in the book of Romans, the law of God. My dear friends, this morning, we cannot talk about Jesus being our king without recognizing where we fit into this kingdom and what we must submit to. And that law, my friends, is the law of Christ. And I want to say one more thing. The law of Christ and the grace of God is not incompatible. It is wrong to even think in those terms. They do not contradict one another. And the very one that wrote these words said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20, we're under law to Christ. And he also said, we're not without law to God. Don't let anyone persuade you, we are not bound to a law that will save us.